Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for taking the time on this Thursday, September 10th, to hear our show. God bless you so much. It has been a blessed and relaxful week. It's always great to start off a week and end up already on Thursday, and you only went to do office work and everything for a couple of days. It's always a blessing. It's always a blessing. And I know that a lot of you agree. Those that were off on Labor Day enjoyed and very much enjoyed having the extra time off. I don't know at any time ever that I've been around that I truly value my time with my wife and my kids. Many times we just sit back and watch videos and make some food, and kids' favorite food, of course, is pizza or burgers, and happens to be my favorite food as well. Me and my son, David, my oldest boy, we were just trying to figure out what our favorite foods were, and I know a lot of you out there think about the same thing sometimes, and you think about what your favorite foods are and stuff. And it's just something me and him were playing around with. And we're like doing that with my other two sons as well, Nate and Matthew. We're just messing with them and seeing it. And out of all of them, it's funny because most of them, their favorite food wasn't my favorite food exactly, but it was all mixed up. It's 1, 2, 3. We categorized them. And it's pretty good. It was pretty funny because you look at the boys and they're just... everything I like, they like. Just different categories on the ranking level, but it was pretty close to being what we like. And let's see, my only one that didn't have the same things as we did, of course, my daughter. She's different. It's a little more finicky. My oldest, his favorite thing was like fettuccine and stuff like that. Mine is, of course, hamburgers and then Chinese and pizza. Pretty much Thai for me. And same thing with him. He had Chinese, he had pizza. But it's funny because you don't know these things, so you actually sit down and you spend a lot of time with your kids. And I think that a lot of us need to start doing that. We need to start doing that. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address to Revelation Ministries. You can write to Rev Media Network. It doesn't really matter. To P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can email me, therev@prodigy. No, that's not it. therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. therev@almostoutofgrace.com. I'm reading this off of a label, and off of a sheet on the wall, because I have them all written down. And I don't know why the other email came in my mind, because I'm reading straight off the script. And david@revministries.com and david@revmedianetwork.com. Again, that's david@revmedianetwork.com. And that's probably the most primary one. You might want to send me out the information you want me to get from you, whether it's a prayer request email, just your status and stuff. You can follow me on Twitter and on Facebook. It's on our websites there. But if you look up my name, it's going to be David Yanez, just like it's spelled together there. David Yanez on Twitter and on Facebook. So you can find me there. You can search for me through that. You can also search through that for Rev Media Network and follow us on Facebook as well. It's amazing the technology that we have today. Well, I'm planning some exciting things this next few days with the kids. We're going to be heading out to the Museum District and having some fun out there. We're also going to be out there just enjoying all the museums and just taking some lunch. I'm going to take them to this really good burger joint that I know. It's a hole-in-the-wall type of restaurant. I like those type of restaurants. You tend to get really good food. And I'll tell you on Monday how the reaction is, because I just really think they're going to freak out where it's at and the part of town that it's at. And just the establishment looks like more like a old grocery store, one of those meat markets and stuff that used to be out there a lot more frequent. Now, this one looks just like it, and they basically serve your food and put it in a big paper and wrap it up and give it to you. So I'm gonna enjoy seeing the kids' responses to that, because they're not used to they're used to getting their burgers at McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's. I think Wendy's and McDonald's is their favorite, so we're constantly going back and forth between those. But they're used to dad making their burgers at home pretty good. I do make a mean burger. I'm not the Texas cheeseburger guy. There's a website, I think it's called Texas Cheeseburger Guy, and or Texas Hamburger Guy, something like that. And it's pretty popular. It's had over almost 1 million hits since like 2004. And you can find any burger restaurant that you want on there that will make a burger that you like, and he ranks them across the board and stuff. But I just thought that was amazing. Since 2004, to have almost 1 million hits on his website just about burgers. Pretty cool. I'm hoping and praying that our ministry, our networks will get that kind of longevity and that kind of people interacting and stuff. I really wish that a lot of y'all would write either through email or through the regular mail. And that's why I'm always putting out the address and putting out the email addresses, because I want to see what you think about the shows. I've had people and friends and family, they've all listened to the shows and stuff, and they've all thought they were really awesome. And they, you know, they of course, their family can always critique and stuff. And I listen to them, and I go, it's good. I hear what they got to say. And I try to take it into practice what they're talking about. But I rarely change anything on people's opinions if they're family, because it goes in one ear, understand, out the other. And I'm just being nice. but friends also critique and stuff, and they're real honest, and I take their opinions real wholeheartedly, and I haven't made any changes yet, but I do hear what they're talking about, and I try and change things. I try and make things happen. Well, you know, you got to be careful out there these days, and you got to spend time with your family. I think the biggest thing for me is spending as much time as I can with the kids, because I really know in my heart that this station is just going to continue to take off like it is, and my time is going to be towards the station. But I also know the publishing is going to start taking off, and the marriage counseling. So I'm going to be really busy. So like I was talking to you yesterday about making time to pray, making time to read your Bible. It's important. You cannot spend time outside of just not spend time by yourself and not get in the Word of God in you. You can't spend time ministering and preaching and or trying to live a successful Christian life and not spend time in the Word of God and in prayer, because that's your life force. The Word of God. I have like 5 translations of the Bible. I have New American Standard. I have NIV. I have New King James, the Amplified, and I have the Living Bible. And I have like several concordances and stuff. So I purposely, and I've been studying the Bible a lot, and you can almost say I'm a scriptologist. And that is a term that a person that is in study of the Bible is called a scriptologist. And that's what you are. You are a scriptologist. Yeah, you didn't ever do that. You are. And I constantly am reading and constantly putting stuff, and not as much as I need to or really want to. I mean, I wish I could spend all day in the Word, all day in everything that's in the Bible, trying to get things going in my heart and in my mind and in my soul. But, you know, it's not a perfect day every day, but you try and do your best and get as much done. One thing I did not get to add yesterday, and I just want to kind of wrap this up on that, the conversation that we had yesterday. If you didn't hear the show, you can listen to it on the archives. And you may hear it repeat during the day, but your best bet is just going to our archives and listening to it. Now, you know where our archives are. It's under host. You click on my page, on my picture, anywhere on the website, or you click on the Rev, the time slot that we're in, and it'll take you to our archives, or you go to under host, find my picture, my name, go through that, click on it, and it goes to our archives. Now, the one thing I didn't get to tell you was this. Don't ever feel guilty. Don't ever feel guilty that you haven't spent any time with God. You know what? God doesn't run off of the guilt stuff on you. He don't. But I want you to be encouraged, though. Because for what you can get today, God will use whatever little you can get done today. Then maybe tomorrow you can get a little more. I remember I was trying to put this one thing together. It was how to read the Bible in 1 year. How to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And I started it. It was, I believe, through I'm trying to remember who wrote this. I think A.A. Allen. It was my father's material back in the days of A.A. Allen and his revival ministries. A.A. Allen was the spiritual father of R.W. Shambach, and R.W. Shambach served under A.A. Allen. So my dad went through his school on correspondence, and as he was going through it, I guess he had this little plan how to read the Bible in a year. And I tried it. I tell you, my friends, I tried it after my military days, and I tell you, my military days, I was reading 13 chapters easy a day, if not double that. I didn't have, you know why? I didn't have nothing else to do, and I was so engulfed and in love with God. I was trying to get everything out of God that I could, and everything out of myself to make myself right with God, and to make myself understand God more, to give me knowledge. And I was, I think, through an advanced study course, reading the Word of God. I read the Bible in and out at least 5 times while I was in the military. But when I got out, and I got busy, and I didn't hear the Navy whistle waking me up in the middle of the night. You know, it's like, it's just like I didn't even, couldn't even stay and read 2 chapters in a row. It was this whistle that would always wake me up in the middle of the night. Not this exact whistle, but very close to it. Now, if you hear that whistle on this show, that means that our time is up. But when I was in the Navy, that, you know, that meant get up, get out of bed, or chow line was open, or whatever. And I thought that, you know, when I got out, that I was going to be even more able to read the Bible because I didn't have to work 12, 13 hours in the military and stand watch and wake up in the middle of the night, that I could read the Bible even more. I was so excited when I got out. But you know what, my friends? Thank God for 3 years of just putting the Word of God and storing it in my heart, because I tell you, I was fortunate if I finished at those times 2 chapters, even 3 chapters a day. And you might be in the same boat. You might be in the same boat that I'm talking about. I don't want you ever to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty for not reading. And I definitely don't want you to feel guilty for not praying. Some people think that you have to pray an hour a day in the morning and an hour a day at night, and that you have to get up at 4 a.m. to get God in your heart. Well, I get up at 3 o'clock every day almost. 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up. And it's not for prayer. It's for other things and things I got to get done, and checking on the station here and there. And so I go to bed, though, early. I go to bed about 9:30, maybe, if I'm fortunate. 8 o'clock, if 8:30, if it's earliest. Latest, 10:30. But I regularly get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember when I was in the Navy, it used to be easy to get up and go and get to work, because my mind was trained, my heart was trained, my whole idea was focused on getting up and doing my work and getting up and doing my duty. Lives depended on it. I used to stand the what's called the aft watch in the back. It was a lookout, aft lookout, forward lookout, and I drove the ship. Those were some of the duties that I did there. And an aft lookout will be looking for anything and anyone that was falling off the ship, and for any contacts on the water, on the horizon, or anywhere. The forward lookout will look for anything from 180 to 90 degrees. He would look at everything that he could in his viewpoint. And of course, the one that drove the ship just took orders and steered and pushed and moved forward the accelerator or decreased it, the throttle. So I was trained, I was put together, and every minute I got outside of painting a ship or cleaning a ship or taking apart departments or mess deck duty or whatever, I would break open this Bible and I would read it. On my breaks, I wouldn't sleep not all the time like everyone else. Sometimes I did. But I would open up the Bible and I would read and just read and constantly just go. Just go like a marathon, just trucking through the Word of God from the beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end. I always made myself tell, I always told myself, you got to do 13 chapters. You have to do 13 chapters. And I would. But like I said, when I got out, I could not get this going. As much as I tried, as much as I wanted to, I could not get 13, 14 chapters done. So that plan to read the Bible in a year, well, it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And you know another crazy thing I used to feel, and I'm just covering this stuff because I think a lot of us may have issues with it. So I want to make sure that a lot of us can deal with this and figure this thing out. Because it's lies. It's lies that we expose. It's lies that we believe. And whenever we're exposing lies and stuff, we got to play our songs. Those are our. Okay, that sounds like more like a laser machine. But it's the lies that we expose. It is the lies that we face that we have to deal with. Now, tomorrow is going to be on relationships. But today, we're still exposing lies. And we usually use exposing lies only on the relationship days. But today, I really think that we can help one another with this. And it's a simple teaching. It's a simple teaching. You don't have to feel guilty for missing your time with God. You don't have to feel guilty for missing your prayer time at all. You know what? That falls under perfectionism. And perfectionism is anything is an overestimation of the end results or an over expectation of the end results. And I'm telling you, my friends, you don't have to be perfect. Only God is perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. You don't have to be, but you can strive to be. And you know what? You can forgive yourself when you're not. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make shortcomings and stuff. And you should not, you don't beat yourself up with self-talk. Self-talk's in your mind. When you talk to yourself and you say, I'm an idiot. I should have done that right. Or I can't believe I messed up again. I could have been reading the Bible. Or I could have been doing something for God. And I'm here sitting watching television. Hey, sometimes your mind needs to relax. Sometimes it's not even in the Word praying or anything like that when God talks to you. Sometimes it is when you're just watching TV and you hear something in your heart or in your ear or in your mind or in your soul or in your spirit or however God talks to you. Sometimes it's just like that. Sometimes you just have to make sure that you have yourself completely relaxed. I tell you what, my friends, I've done a lot of different things for the Lord. I've preached in big events. I've pastored a church. I'm pastoring one as well again. I've done radio show hosting. I've done that for over 5-6 years now. And now we have a station, and I'm continuing building this. I'm continually hosting a show every day during the week, Monday through Friday, from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And I tell you what, sometimes it's not the material or it's not the prayer that makes that's going to help you on the day that you do the thing, the event that you're supposed to be at. Sometimes it's just resting. Sometimes it's just taking a nap and relaxing. Now that may be the most craziest thing I'm telling you. That may be the most craziest thing that you may have heard that I've told you so far since I've been on the air and since you've been listening to me. But I will tell you this, my friends. I will tell you this. Rest. Rest has no replacement. There's nothing that can substitute it. And there's no other way you can benefit from anything else for it. Rest is its own reward. When you rest, your whole body coasts and relaxes. It gives your mind time to rest and recuperate and readjust and reboot at times. And then you continue to build yourself even stronger. If you don't get any rest, I tell you, I can tell when I'm not creative. It's when I don't have rest. I can tell when I'm not finishing my goals on education is when I don't have rest. Sometimes you want to write something, or for me, I want to write stuff, or I want to read some certain books and stuff to get some more material and stuff. But I just am so tired, I just rest. I have to. And it's okay. Don't ever feel guilty for resting. Now, don't sleep all day. Good Lord. You can't be doing that. That's crazy. I think that falls under slothful if you sleep all day. I have to be honest with you because I love you. I have to tell you this. It is slothful when you sleep all day. It is slothful when all you do is sleep and your life is not being productive. That is like what we talked about last week or even this week about the talents and the one man that just hid the talent under the ground and didn't do nothing with it. It's in the Word of God. And when the prince came home, the ruler of the house came home, he seen that nothing was done. He was slothful. He was lazy. There was no productivity. There's not even a production. Slothfulness will bring nothing back. Slothfulness will be the destroyer of you and your vision. A lot of dreams and visions are destroyed because they're slothful. Because they have slept through their time to be used by God. Because even at the most highest points in your ministry, there are times when you need to rest, but there's also times when you need to work and push yourself. And you got to be the one that judges on that. You're the only one that can judge that. You're the only one that can make that call if you need to be resting or if you need to be in the sofa's taking a nap. It's up to you. It's completely up to you. No one else can tell you. No one else can make that happen at all. Now, another thing is, okay, we don't want you to feel guilty about prayer, and we don't want you to feel about missing your prayer, and we don't want you to feel guilty about not reading the Word of God. But this is something, this other thing I struggled with a little bit. And remember, it's not legalism. We don't want you to think that you have to read so many books in the Word of God or so many chapters in the Word of God and so many different things in the Word of God. But I tell you what you read is going to give you knowledge. What you read is going to help you. What you read is going to make a difference in your life today. You want immediate action in your life? Read the book. Read the good book. Read the Word of God, the Holy Bible. It's going to change your life. We're logged into our chat tango. If you have times to chat with me, you can. Last time I got off the air, someone started chatting pretty quick. And our show already ended, so it was kind of too late. But at the same time, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to get your messages and stuff. It's a blessing to be on the air and talking about Jesus. Now, another thing, like I told you, I was struggling was this. And that is that reading other books. Reading other books made me feel guilty that I wasn't reading the Bible. It's a lie. It's a lie. Granted, the Bible is probably the most awesome thing that you can read and the one that's going to give you the most knowledge, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to get
men of God's viewpoints and their stories, because I tell you what, without that, we wouldn't have much material. What men of God can dissect and bring stuff before you and teach you is knowledge. You're only going to go as far as your knowledge takes you. You can only take someone so far in ministering and counseling as far as your knowledge takes you and your anointing and your spirit. So you need to continue. If you want to go further and take them further, you need to continue to grow. You want to be the best you can here? Amen? Then we need to expose this lie. And the lie is this, that you feel guilty for reading other books. Don't feel guilty for that. And some of you may be laughing and say, you read other books all the time. Well, reading other books and reading godly books are different, two different matters. If you're little romance novels and you see them all, they're with the crazy titles, and I won't even bring up the title. I think the last time I was in the store, I was looking for seeing if they were carrying my book at a store, and they weren't, of course. I looked into the romance portion or in the counseling portions, and they weren't in there. So I talked to the store manager, but when I was walking through there, had the little small $5 novels, and the titles on those things are crazy. I don't even remember them, but they were just crazy. I just laughed. Some of the titles just make you just crack up. That doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean those books. Well, if those are consuming your time and you can't read the Bible, then yes, you need to put that other book down and start reading your Bible. Now, I know that reading other books are help. I really love other books. I don't have a favorite author that writes other books besides outside of Christianity. I do. James Patterson. He's one of my favorite book writers. I love reading his book just because his creativity and how he just puts books out. He's like a book factory, and that's cool. That's what I want to be doing. And he just constantly writes all these books. But in the Christian sect, I don't have anyone that's my favorite Christian author except myself, David Yannis, and I'm just playing. No, I'm not. I'm not serious at all about that. Let me play you a quick infomercial about our ministry, Revelation Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of Midwatch with the Rev, and General Station Manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just wanted to remind you to visit our main website, which is RevMinistries.com. I am the director of RevMinistries.com. We're doing several evangelistic things out there. One of them is reaching through media all the ways we can. We have books, CDs. We have an online station here. You're listening to it here at Rev Media Network. We'll be broadcasting on television soon as well. We're making movies. We're doing everything we can to take the gospel out to the world. We also preach. We do seminars. We do healing conferences. We do relationship series. Relationship. God bless you. Please visit us at RevMinistries.com. Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com. You can get through there through RevMinistries.com, or you can go straight to AlmostOutOfGrace.com, and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card. And if you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships.
Welcome back to the show. God bless you. Thank you for listening to that. And the reason I put that book out so much is I really feel that book's going to help people. And we're going to have a couple of more book commercials, but my pastor's books, The Goodness of God and Do You Want to Be Healed? And God's Perspective on Money. He has some good titles as well. And we're just trying to see about marketing and stuff. I'm going to go on a marketing campaign. I am. I don't know how and when and what, but we are going to do that. I've been praying about it and really got the idea from that story I read to you last week about Jesus loves you no matter what you've done or where you've been or how you've acted. I think that's the title. And I really got encouraged by reading that article. And that's why I'm telling you that sometimes it's not just the Word of God you got to read, my friends. You got to read other stories. And how many of us get get touched more or have a deeper impact in our heart when our pastors or our guest speakers teach or share with us a story, not of the Bible, but of some other person, of someone else going through something, of something else, of a good story and stuff. I shared a couple of good stories the last time I preached, and it really changed people's lives. It changed people's lives. I think that they were touched. Right when I said it, the story, they were just amazed, and it touched their lives. So I just want you to know that stories help. Stories make things happen. It brings into reality the stuff that we read in the Bible, the material in there. It is old. It has been read, and you may have heard it several times, and you may not get the right point on there or get the same point that everyone else is getting, or you may have gotten the point over and over again. So the Bible's good, and you need to read it. It's awesome. It's going to encourage you. It is the one thing the Bible is that the other books aren't, and I can tell you this right away, it's something anyone would know, is that the Bible is the promise, the power to get everything and anything done in your life. It is the promise of God that He made to you. It is the authority, the absolute authority in our Christian belief, and is the power of God in the purest of forms. It'll tell you everything God can do for you, which is absolutely everything. Nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for thee. It's what the Word of God says in Jeremiah, and that is true. Know the Word of God. It is your sword. It is your shield. That is the difference. The other books are great books with great information, that may have great scriptures and great viewpoints on the scriptures, but they are not absolute authority like the Word of God. So the difference is to have the power that you need in your life, to have the understanding and the revelation in your life, the Word of God needs to be in you. To have faith, you must first understand, read. It's going to build your faith. Faith, you can pray and believe, but seeing the Word of God is going to unlock truth in your heart and give you a greater understanding that you have never known. Greater understanding that you can just say, wow, that's me. I can understand this. I wrote this book, Almost Out of Grace, about, I'd say, a year ago, and just got it finished up this year. Actually, 2 years ago I wrote it. And this year I just finished it up and got it ready for editing. Actually, this year, I think last year in the summer, this time last year is what I'm trying to say, is when I finished it, polished it up, and got it to my editor to edit. Now, one thing that I didn't include was complete scripture references. Just kind of like how I talk on the radio. I kind of give you the book that it's in and send you to go check for it. Sometimes they give you the scripture references, and that's a bad habit. But it's also me trying to make you search for the Word and through the Word. And I'm going to try and give you better scripture references after this story. One of the guys that read this, one a good friend of mine that I used to work with a while back, and he read the book and said that he could not believe how many scriptures references were in there and how many times that I explained each scripture reference with a story or explained the scripture reference with a paragraph or two. He said, now I know something in the Bible. And this guy is not a believer.
but his heart is there. In fact, I ran into him last week, and something seems to be troubling him, so I'm going to be visiting with him pretty soon and try and get things fixed. Don't lose an opportunity, my friends, to counsel people, to talk to people, to minister with them, to make things happen for them. Today, I'm going to continue to remember my cousin Rebecca, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I'm going to continue to remember her to the point that I knew I should have went and visited her one last time. And I didn't go. But I know she loved me, knew that she knew I was busy with the station. And my brother was constantly visiting with her. So, you know, you just think you have that time and you don't have it. You don't have it. And that's someone that was sick or ill, however you want to call it. You don't have it all the time, my friends. You don't have the time, you think. So if you see someone hurting today, my prayer is that you will try and help them now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till, oh, when I get time. Because you know what? We get really busy. We get busy in life. We do. And when we get busy in life, we tend to forget those things that we have to get done. When I do real estate and stuff, and I'm going to use this analogy for you. I'm constantly busy, constantly moving stuff around, constantly going and chasing the deal that's going to be the deal that is probable to close. The high dollar deal, the low dollar deal, whatever deal it is that's going to close, I'm going to concentrate on those deals. I'm going to focus on them. I'm going to try my best to get those things closed and sold. And the same thing with the loans and stuff that I do. I will do my best to make that thing happen. You know, and I constantly give those deals my attention. Well, one of my instructors, when I was getting my real estate license, oh, about 10 years ago, told me that she feels bad that she doesn't have a better, what you call, better follow-up habit or follow-up routine, that she can constantly did the same thing. She would constantly focus on the ones that closed, focus on the ones that were her clients and her customers, and try and get them close, get them out of the way, make sure they're happy, make the money, keep going on, and being of good service to them. But she goes, the ones that she felt bad, that she knew that her business would have been broadened or her business would have grown better, was the ones that she just let fall by the wayside and fall through the cracks. And not that she did not want to get back to them, not that she didn't want to be a part of their business, but that they weren't a high priority on her list because they were not ready, or she got so busy that the business that wasn't closable fell through the cracks. So the business that needed a little bit more attention that she could give at that time fell through the cracks. Same thing with me. I have to look back at applications and stuff and people that called when I was busy. And it takes time to rebuild that repertoire with them. It takes time to build that trust in financing or whatever again. You know, and the same thing with those that are weak right now. Same things with those that are having problems right now. You may be so focused on your life. You may be so in tuned in what's happening today with you. Oh, I got to pay my bills. Or, oh, I got to put gas, or I'm not going to have gas for the morning. And those are little things, but important. And we're not really concentrating on those that need God's touch now. The ones that are falling through the cracks. The ones that are not directly associated with us, but that we know of, an acquaintance or passing by or hear of in their office or see them at the church, and they're by themselves most of the time. They don't sit with people. They don't mingle with people afterwards during visiting time. Visiting time like we're in prison. During visiting time like when the fellowship time, when everybody dismisses and stuff, they're kind of just off by themselves or out the door, quickest one out. You need to make a purpose to build relationships with those people. You need to make yourself available to them. That was one of the things that we covered yesterday, that a mark of a true leader, especially one in training, I would say a leader in training, would be the mark would be availability.
Availability. Submission was the other one, or submissive was the other one.
And you have to be able to be available to those kind of needs. And think of yourself as an associate pastor, or a pastor, one of the pastors of the church,
or one of the ministers of the church, or what they call them now, leaders of the church. Oh, I tell you, I've been in this a while. They have changed the names so many times. Now they're called leaders, from deacons to now leaders of the church. It's a marketing thing. It's okay. It's fine. But think of it like this. In order to be a leader of the church, you have to be available and be willing. Be willing to be used by God and be willing to go to places. Do you think the head pastor of a mega church, let's take a Lakewood church for instance, the head pastor of that would be, of course, Joel Osteen. Do you think that he has time to sit there and do every funeral or every wedding that come through that church? No. Absolutely not. I guarantee you, not. But I tell you what, he has plenty of what they call layman ministers, or ministers of the church, or pastorals of the church, or pastors, co-pastors, or associate, I think it would be an associate pastor, or just a pastor of the church. He would be the head pastor. And there's plenty of them that, I tell you, can go over there and take care of that funeral, or can go over there and take care of that wedding. And I know this, and the reason why is because they are available. They are available because that's what their position is. They are available to be used by God, and to be used by God, and in that way they are making themselves available to be there, to counsel families during a crisis, to be there when some prayer needs to be happening and stuff. When you call the phone line, someone's there praying for you. Because why? They're available. So I want you to understand, my friends, it is important that you make yourself available if you're gonna be studying the Word of God, and you're gonna be praying, that you need and studying the material and stuff. I think that it's the most important thing in your life is to continue to educate yourself in God. Educate yourself with books, reading, you know, jump into a study group. Do whatever you can. Do whatever you can for God. There's no other way that I can say it, no other way that I can place that, but just make yourself available for God. We're going to play another commercial. We'll be right back. Be our third segment, and we'll be going to some emails and some other stuff in just a minute. God bless you.
Take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, or at the auxiliary studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us so we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software.
We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple. If you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show, you don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. Revenue Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, which is extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host again, David Yanez, the Rev. And it's almost time for our scripture of the day. So let me get that geared up for us and get to the Bible here. It's in Romans. I believe Romans 7, verse number 19. Romans 7, 19, our scripture of the day. We're going to get this going here. Give me 1 second. Here we go. Romans 7:19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Romans 7:19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Our scripture of the day. Amen, my friends. Amen. What does that mean, my friends? Just like what we've been talking about, just like what we've been trying to get out there on the airwaves here, and that is, don't feel guilty. But at times, you know what? The good that you want to do, you do not do it, and the evil which you won't do, that you don't want to do, you end up doing. And what that is saying, my friends, is sometimes you find yourself caught up in the old man's ways and the old man's lifestyle and the old man's habits and the old man's desires. Your body is made of flesh. Your body is made of carnal, and your body does not want to be with God. It doesn't. And I want you to understand that you need to be able to follow God no matter what. Don't feel guilty, because when you put guilt in there, it just buries up and it gets all bottled up and it begins to make things more difficult for you. And a study that I was reading this last week is how a person believes will make him happier, will make him happy or sad. So however you believe is going to create good things for you or bad things. However a man thinks makes a man change and move. So whatever you mentally think can help. If you can change your thinking, it'll change your ways. So don't beat yourself. Don't call yourself a loser. Don't call yourself an idiot just because you forget to read. Or some people, I used to set my clock to get up in the morning to read at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and you know what? I could never get to that time, and probably because I was going to bed at 11 or 12. But if I wanted to set myself to get up at 9:30 and to get up at 3, like I do now, it would have been pretty easy to make that time. But I'm going to tell you the truth, just like Pastor Joel Osteen preached many times and many years ago, he said this, and he said that God is the same at 7 a.m. as he is at 5 a.m. and at 4 a.m. And a lot of Pentecostal and a lot of men of God are going to disagree with that. But, you know, it's true. God is available in the same whatever time. You don't have to be gung-ho and be this huge, huge prayer warrior and we call them prayer warriors. I think that's an old term. But
Prayer Partner is what they're called now. And it just changes the name, like stewardess and flight attendant. It's the same thing, just whatever popular and politically correct. So, I don't know about you, but I want you to be encouraged that you're going to have good things happen for you. So as long as you don't feel guilty for anything, for missing time with God and stuff like that. Because I used to run through that sometimes. I used to, oh, I missed my time with God. Oh, I missed this. And I would feel horrible. God don't want you feeling horrible because you missed time praying with Him. No, He doesn't. But you're going to feel better if you do study and do pray. We're going to be honest with you. You will. And you should. So, my friends, let's jump into a quick silly story here. Did you hear about the jellyfish flinger? The jellyfish flinger. Well, now that I mentioned it, I am obligated to share it with you. There's two articles I'm going to read to you, and I just thought they were kind of, you know, people are just crazy, and they just don't understand what happens and stuff, but here it goes. Here it is. The man allegedly flings jellyfish at teens at beach. Madeira Beach, Florida. A 40-year-old man was arrested on Monday at Madeira Beach after witnesses said he repeatedly pretended to drown, then allegedly began tossing jellyfish at nearby teenagers. Okay, I'm starting to sound like Casey Kasem. I'm sorry, excuse me. According to the sheriff's office report, Keith caused concern for his safety when he repeatedly submerged himself and floated back to the top of the water. He was also loud and disruptive. He then started throwing sea creatures. This guy needs to be checked into a psychologist or psychiatric help. Marriott was arrested and charged with disorderly intoxication and carrying a concealed weapon. According to St. Petersburg, Marriott was carrying a pocket knife in his shorts. Okay, that's a concealed weapon. Jail records indicate that Marriott was being held on $250 bond. A message left hours at the public defender's office was not immediately returned late Tuesday. So what would possess a man to go, a 41-year-old man at that, to go and pick up jellyfish and throw them at teenagers? What would make this man do that? The oddest things that you hear about today. The oddest things that are just crazy. That are crazy. Here's another thing I want to read you real quick. And I was just flipping through the internet looking for some crazy stuff to talk to you about. But this is pretty serious. Imagine if this happened to you. Police free 9 from fake Big Brother house. This is on Reuters, on Yahoo. Istanbul. 9 women tricked into thinking they were reality TV show contestants and lured into an Istanbul villa were rescued by Turkish military police after 2 months of confinement, a police spokesman said Thursday. Cameras in the villa filmed the women 24 hours a day, providing a live stream of images for internet users who had paid to access the footage, the spokesman said. The women, all of them Turkey, according to the Turkish press, had answered an advert seeking contestants for a Big Brother-style television show. They passed an audition and selection process before entering the house. The women's parents called the police after they didn't hear anything from them. The military police went to investigate and heard the women screaming from inside, the spokesman said, adding the raid took place Monday. Police detained 3 men and prosecutors are investigating. According to Turkish media, the women had signed a contract agreeing they would have no contact with their families and would face a $50,000 Turkish fine if they left early. Wow. People, know what you're getting into. Don't go think you're going to be the next big hit and everybody in there and they take you into a house and they lock you up. And then now you think you're on Big Brothers and you're on the internet streaming. Know what you're getting into.
make sure it's a reputable company if they have a camera, and make sure that they can tell you where you're going to be showing at and how things are going to happen. Well, you know what? Don't be going doing something stupid like that anyway. Excuse me. It's just crazy. You just don't go do stuff like that. And being held away from their family for 2 months, don't tell their ages and stuff. And if it said that, then we could probably figure it out. But it doesn't show that, so that's fine. So Amanda Jo throws jellyfish and contestants that constantly go into houses for 2 months and being locked up. What is the world coming to, my friends? I told you, Jesus is coming back soon. I really believe it. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just pointing out the fact. Jesus is coming back. And another quick silly news. And I get all these silly news just to give you something. We're trying to get some information out. So trying to, don't want to get into a subject, but this is stuff that I'd like to bring out to give you attention. Last one. Here we go. A UPS truck is Denver's champion park it violator. This is from Associated Press on Yahoo. Denver, a single UPS delivery truck is the champion of Denver parking violations, racking up 196 tickets worth nearly $5,700 last year. The Denver Post reported the dubious achievement Wednesday. UPS spokesman Mark Dickens says parking tickets are a cost of doing business in some cities. The newspaper says parking tickets are on the upswing in Denver and on a pace to hit 670,000. That would be 14% higher than last year and the most since Mayor John Hickenlooper took office in 2003 after making parking tickets a campaign issue. City officials say they're not trying to drive up revenue. They say the increase is caused by more residential parking zones, more parking agents, and replacement of faded no parking signs and population growth. That's, of course, the Denver Post and the Associated Press article from them. UPS, just one truck, $5,700. That's a lot. Let's do the math. $5,700. Divide that into 12. $475 a month. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of money. They need to talk to that driver or dock his pay or something, because that's ridiculous to get that many parking violations. That's ridiculous. $475. That's a car note, my friends. That's even some people's rent, part of their rent if they're single. In some places, or half the rent, or whatever. That's groceries for a month. In some houses, that's your cell phone and everything else if you're single. So, my friends, just to give you an idea on what people are going through out there, it's not all that bad. You're blessed, and God loves you. God loves you very much, my friends. God loves you. Well, it's time to go, my friends. I hope you heard the Navy whistle. I think it just came out again. Let's see if it hears. There it goes. I want to thank you for listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Thank you for joining me every day at 2 o'clock. And if you missed the program, you can always listen to it again tonight at 11. Tomorrow at 11 in the morning, it'll be today's broadcast rebroadcasted. And again, you can always listen to it on our archive. Sometimes it's posted before 5 or 6. This evening, so it just depends on when I get to it and when we get it out there. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to our show. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you just taking the time to just learn and fellowship and just hang out with me. That's how I look at this broadcast, that we're just hanging out and we're just talking. So God bless. Thank you for listening to the Midwatch. Till next time.